Skagway residents meet to discuss the new Tidelands lease. And the Haynesboro tries again with a police chief hire. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway municipality held its first meeting Tuesday about the proposed agreement with White Pass for a new Tidelands lease. The meeting included a presentation by Mayor Mark Schaefer and Assemblyman Dan Henry, with a short statement by White Pass President John Finlinson. While Mayor Schaefer and Henry said at first they weren't expecting to answer questions from the audience, they did take questions and have some back and forth with audience members. We'll have a complete report on the meeting, topics discussed, issues raised and answered on our Thursday evening newscast. The Haynesboro has a new police chief. The Borough Assembly on Tuesday confirmed Interim Manager Julie Causey's choice to hire William Musser for the chief position. Musser was one of two finalists that recently visited Haynes for interviews. Richard Craes was the Borough's first choice of hire, until Causey and the Assembly decided to end negotiations with him because of how he reacted during salary discussions. He criticized the Borough Assembly and officials for misleading him on the salary range for the job. Causey said Tuesday she had already spoken to Musser about salary, and he has agreed to accept the job at a starting salary of $75,000 a year. She said he could start by the end of February. The vote to confirm Musser's hire wasn't unanimous. Assemblywoman Deborah Schnabel voted against it. During the meeting, she asked Causey if the Public Safety Commission had weighed in with a recommendation. Borough Code states the commission shall make a recommendation for hire of police chief. It previously recommended Craes. This time, the commission unanimously recommended offering the position to Interim Chief Simon Ford. He originally applied for the position, but withdrew his name from consideration because he said he preferred to work under someone with more experience. The Public Safety Commission recommended approaching Ford about the position and offering it to him with the appropriate training to fulfill the chief responsibilities. If Ford was not interested, the commission requested the manager not offer the job to any other candidate at this time. Causey noted to the Assembly she had received that recommendation, but was not under any obligation to follow it. Schnabel said her vote against Musser's confirmation was not a sign of disagreement with Causey's choice, but that she would have liked more consensus building among the community, the Public Safety Commission, and the Assembly in making a chief selection. The police chief position has a one-year probation period. In other actions at Tuesday's meeting, the Chilkat Valley Preschool has an extra year to come up with a new home after the Assembly extended the nonprofit's building lease until June 2015. The Assembly voted at its last meeting to end the lease in June of this year because it wants the building vacated so it can dispose of it or try to sell it. But preschool board members and others have spoken out against the action, saying 5 months isn't enough time for the school to find a new location. Alyssa Henry, board president of the preschool, said the board is actively looking for a new location. Its preference at this point is for a modular unit that could be placed on borough property or elsewhere. But she said securing the funds through a grant or fundraising is going to take months, and then a while longer to take the funds and implement a plan. Assemblymember Diana Lapham offered the motion to reconsider the previous vote. Discussion mostly focused on the building's condition. It needs considerable work, including a new roof and work on the crawl space. But Public Facilities Director Carlos Jimenez says it's not in any imminent danger and should remain stable until the end of the lease. He recommended not spending any more money on capital repairs on the building in the next year and a half. Assemblyman Dave Barry was a lone no vote last time to shorten the lease. At Tuesday's meeting, he said there shouldn't be any question of extending the lease for the preschool.
We're talking about our children. You're talking about my grandchildren, your guys' grandchildren. That should be our first priority. That's just the way I feel. If we had an organization that was willing to take over maintenance, repairs, and everything in that building, yeah, I might think about it. We can't put these people out on the street. I mean, let's be realistic. Let's give them the opportunity. They need to discuss things with the school district. They need to have additional funding sources to get the building if they're going to the modular system. Let's at least give them the time and opportunity to do so.
Assemblywoman Joanne Waterman said the borough is supportive of the preschool, but discussion had been ongoing for years that the borough needs to get rid of the building.
I do not believe that we are not supporting the Chilkat Valley Preschool, but are we in some ways forcing the issue to come to some new resolution and some new way to move forward with them, yes, I believe that is hopefully what will come out of this. I do not believe that it is the Assembly's responsibility to go to them and come up with their future plan. I want them to take action and come to us.
The Assembly and School Board plan on discussing the preschool and early childhood education at its March 4th joint meeting. We'll have more on some of the Assembly's actions from the meeting on our Thursday evening newscast. The record-setting pink salmon catch in Alaska last year has left seafood processing companies with several years' worth of inventory of canned product, although not all of the pink salmon winds up in a can. In fact, industry in recent years has been freezing and reprocessing about half of Alaska's pink catch. Analysts say that move has helped weather the boom and bust cycles of salmon returns. Joe Vicnicki reports.
The 2013 pink harvest was the largest on record. It's led to a glut of supply, and will probably, there will be downward pressure on prices because of it. And it's really been a pretty tremendous impact.
That's Joe Jacobson, director of the state's Division of Economic Development, testifying before the House Fisheries Committee this month. Fishing fleets caught 219 million pink salmon in Alaska last year. That helped fill up an estimated 4 million cases of tall pink cans. And it's left companies with almost 5 million cases in inventory.
Even though the catch was big, we're not having any real problems moving through it.
Tom Sunderland is vice president of marketing for Ocean Beauty Seafoods, one of the companies that operates in the state. He says the demand for Alaska salmon seems to keep growing.
I mean, that isn't to say we don't have a lot of inventory. We do. We're in a heavy inventory position right now, and that's always a little worrisome when you're holding more inventory than you want, but it is selling well. And that's what I've heard from other processors as well, is that no one's in any kind of panic mode. No one's in any mood to, or nobody feels the need to start dropping prices or taking any drastic action. So at this point, even despite the heavy catch, it looks like it's going okay.
Companies say a can of salmon has a shelf life of about 6 years, so processors don't need to sell all of the 2013 catch right away. Andy Wink is a seafood analyst for the McDowell Group, a consulting firm that works with the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute.
Given where sales have been the last several years, we're looking at inventory of about 2.6 years in terms of how much supply do we have and how much inventory do we have. So that would take us, you know, beyond 2015, even if we did not can, another salmon for the next couple of years.
Wink says a chronic oversupply brought prices down in the early 2000s.
And that made it very difficult, obviously, to sell new production. But, you know, through a lot of hard work, through a lot of marketing, and actually through just shifting a lot of product out of the can, we were able to bring that inventory down, and prices improved as a result. So I think we've probably been in this area before, but it has been some time.
Pinks that don't end up in a can are often headed and gutted, then frozen and shipped overseas for more processing. That's become an increasing portion of the catch, according to the Institute of Social and Economic Research's Gunnar Knapp.
That has changed over the past few years, processors had increasingly started freezing the salmon and shipping it to the Far East, to countries like China and Vietnam and Thailand for reprocessing into value-added products.
Analysts say that product diversification has helped drive down inventory and improve prices for Alaska's pinks. Wholesale prices for cases of tall pink cans topped $100 in 2012 and 2013. That's more than double what they were a decade ago. There's some expectation that those high prices will start dropping, but there's also help on the way for the big can pack. The Department of Agriculture will be buying $20 million worth of canned pinks for food pantry programs across the country. That's an expanded purchase over past years, and it's a decision that was hailed by Alaska's senators back in January. An analyst with the McDowell Group, Andy Wink, says it will be a process to move through the big catch.
But, you know, I think there is the capacity for the market to absorb it. And again, one of the things for canned salmon, especially with this with this buy by the federal government is that, you know, the hope is that we can introduce new people to the product because, you know, it's really hard to take, to double production or, you know, triple it and then assume that you're going to move that into the same number of consumers. You know, when that happens, you've got to get new people buying the product.
That's where marketing will come in.
Well, it certainly presents a marketing challenge when you have, you know, such a huge catch trying to maintain the value, but it's very much a good problem to have.
That's the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute's communications director, Tyson Fick. He says ASME will be spending an additional $1.5 million to help market pink salmon and notes that companies don't want to hold a big can pack for too long.
And at the same time, we don't want to be dumping product on the market and crashing the price. That's not good for anybody either. So that's where the marketing effort comes in, is to try to maintain the value while at the same time incentivizing product moving.
That means recipe and coupon campaigns to bolster sales in traditional domestic markets for canned pinks, places like the southeastern United States. Fix says they also hope to market some of the Alaska product to canned food companies in the United Kingdom. In Petersburg, I'm Joe Vicknicki.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Joe Vicknicki for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.